Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Carborundum Universal Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phones. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashwani Sharma from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Darwin. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I would like to welcome you all for the Q3 FY23 earnings conference call of Carborundum Universal Limited. We thank the entire management of CUB for giving us this opportunity. The management is being represented by Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Director of Finance and Strategy, Mr. N. Venkatesan, Managing Director, Mr. P. Padmanabhan, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. G. Chandramouli, Advisor, Investor Relations, and Mr. Dinesh Kumar, Senior Manager, Strategic Planning. We'll start the call with opening remarks on the results and outlook by the management, post that we can have the Q&A session. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Venkatesan for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, all of you. Before we begin, we will have Mr. Chandramouli read out our disclaimer, and then I will take the call.
Morning. During this call, we may make certain statements which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement. These statements are based on management's current expectation and are associated with uncertainties and risk are more fully detailed in our annual report, which may cause the actual result to differ. Hence, these statements must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk.
This call is now being recorded.
That the company faces. Thank you.
Thank you, Mouli, and thank you all for joining us on this call, and a very warm welcome to our third quarter FY23 earnings call. Before we begin, wishing you all a very happy new year. Traditionally, we have our earnings call the day following the board meeting, but since yesterday was the budget day and exceeding to the wishes of many people, we have our call scheduled today. As mentioned earlier, we are co-joined on this call by my colleagues, Mr. Sridharan Rangarajan, Mr. Padmanabhan, Mr. Chandramouli, and Mr. Dinesh. I would begin this call by providing an overview of the company performance and a commentary on the outlook, followed by the financial performance by our CFO, Padmanabhan. Afterwards, Mr. Sridharan will take you through the performance of the VAW and the newly acquired subsidiaries. Since our last call, the macroeconomic environment has largely been unchanged. The fears of recession and slowdown, while has been there, but it's not been as strong as it was anticipated. We also saw that the crude and commodity prices softened during the second half of the second quarter and also in the quarter following that. While it has benefited our input prices, realizations have also been under pressure. We also saw that the Russian-Ukraine war continued into the third quarter as well. Despite all this, our Russian subsidiary managed the business very well. Overall, during the quarter, we delivered growth year-on-year on top line at standalone and at consolidated levels. Profits have definitely been better on standalone basis and a lower at consolidated level on account of losses specifically from the newly acquired subsidiaries. We will detail this during the later part of the call. The good news is that the profits of the consolidated subsidiaries are on an increasing trend since Q4 of FY22. For the quarter, our revenues have grown by about 32% to 1,172 crores. At a standalone level, it has also grown 6% quarter-on-quarter to 634 crores. The growth has been driven by all the three segments, and the electrominerals and ceramic segments have shown significant growth. On a consolidated basis, the braces segment also includes the sales, additional sales from Rhodius and Awuko. So all major existing overseas subsidiaries have grown significantly compared to Q3 of last year, except our African subsidiary, Fosco Zirconia. On a sequential basis, we saw the American subsidiary grow in double digits, both on the ceramics and abrasive segments, and the subsidiary in Australia and Russia, while they also showed a little growth. So when it comes to the bottom line performance, so before that, so we have the growth in top line has been significant on a YTD basis at 3,418 crores by about 41%. And the standalone sales has grown to 1,845 crores. For the bottom line, at a consolidated level, profit after tax and non-controlling interest grew sequentially by 23% to 109 crores, which is possibly our highest ever. PAT margins have also improved sequentially from 8% to 9.3%. And PAT grew 9% to 72 crores from 67 crores. As to the bottom line performance of subsidiaries, the domestic subsidiaries except SETCO have performed very well. The bottom line performance of overseas subsidiaries, especially the American subsidiary, has shown remarkable growth. The profits, however, sequentially has been impacted on account of inflationary pressures and also higher freight costs. The profits for VAW in rupee terms have grown significantly and also sequentially. More details will be covered later in the call by Sridhar. When it comes to the bottom line performance on a YTD basis, PAT at consolidated level increased to 277 crores from 276 crores in FY22, and PAT margins dropped to 8.1% from 11.4%, and the drop was mainly from the abrasive segment as commented earlier, because we did not have the overseas subsidiaries last year. Coming to the external environment, the global growth we expect is expected to decelerate from about 5.9% in calendar year 2021 to 2.9% in calendar year 2022 and to 1% in 2023. However, we are better positioned in the domestic market, and also we see that the auto sector in India has across the pre-pandemic levels in some segment. The adoption of the EV business, EV electrification or EV vehicles in India has been significant and also provides us additional opportunities. The construction-linked segments sectors are also showing signs of improvement, and this should augur well for us going into the future. What we see is that the outlook, as far as outlook goes, it remains, we see that cautiously positive for broadly all segments like steel, cement, power, glass, carbon black, and the other segments like solid oxide fuels, etc., to which Kimi caters to. So in terms of the capex, at a consolidated level, we have spent about 267 crores in the 9 months of FY23. May now request Padmanabhan, our CFO, to walk us through the financials.
Thank you, Anand. Good morning, everyone. Let me summarize the financial performance for the quarter ended December 31, 2022. Consolidated sales for the quarter increased by 32% to 1,172 crores from 891 crores in the corresponding quarter of last year, driven by a strong performance by all the three segments. including the additional sales of 145 crores from Awuko and Rhodius. On year-to-date basis, the sales have grown 41% to 3,418 crores from 2,431 crores in the corresponding period of last year. On a consolidated basis, profitability for the quarter recorded a strong growth across minerals and the ceramic segments. Profit after tax and non-controlling interest for the quarter grew by 23% to 109 crores against 89 crores in Q2 of the current financial year and grew by 7% compared to Q3 of last year. On YTD basis, profit after tax and non-controlling interest increased by 20 basis points to 272 crores from 276 crores and the PAT margin dropped to 8.1% from 11.4% because of the cost of cost inflation and acquisition costs related to the recent acquisitions. Coming to the standalone performance, sales increased by 6% to 634 crores from 596 crores on quarter-on-quarter basis and by 4% sequentially. For the quarter, PAT grew 9% to 72 crores from 67 crores on quarter-on-quarter basis and increased 1% sequentially and PAT margin has increased to 11.4% from 11.2% quarter-on-quarter but dropped marginally by 36 basis points sequentially. On YTD basis, sales grew significantly by 14% to 1,845 crores from 1,612 crores and PAT increased by 13% to 217 crores from 193 crores. PAT margin dropped by 19 basis points from 11.9 to 11.8. The drop was mainly from the abrasive segment on account of the raw material cost inflation. Coming to the segmental performance, abrasive consolidated revenue for the quarter grew by 50% to 513 crores compared to 341 crores in Q3 of last year and grew 6% sequentially. Standalone abrasive was almost flat and grew by 0.5% quarter-on-quarter and sequentially by 2% to 282 crores. The newly acquired subsidiaries Rhodius and Awuko added additional sales of 145 crores to the top line, besides significant growth from the domestic subsidiary as well as subsidiaries in Russia and America. On YTD basis, consolidated sales grew by 61% to 1,510 crores and for standalone, it grew by 7% to 827 crores. Awuko and Rhodius added additional sales of 443 crores during the first 9 months of FY23. Profit before finance cost and tax at the consolidated level was lower by 56% at 21 crores as against 47 crores in Q3 of last year and by 26% sequential basis. On YTD basis, consolidated PBIT degrew by 48% to 67 crores and for standalone, it degrew by 9% to 107 crores. The lower profit is mainly due to the raw material cost impact in standalone and the integration cost for the newly acquired subsidiaries. In respect of electro minerals, the consolidated revenue for the quarter was at 412 crores versus 361 crores in Q3 of last year, resulting in an increase of 14%. Standalone electro minerals was almost flat and grew by 0.5% to 173 crores from 172 crores in Q2 and degrew by 2% quarter-on-quarter basis. A Russian subsidiary, Volsky Abrasive, registered significant growth, whereas the South African subsidiary, Foskor Zirconia, degrew. On year-to-date basis, consolidated sales grew by 26% to 1,228 crores. And for standalone, it grew by 16% to 524 crores. Profit before finance cost and tax at consolidated level was at 82 crores, as against 63 crores of Q3 last year, and 69 crores in Q2 of current financial year. Profitability growth was due to strong performance at the standalone, as well as overseas subsidiaries on account of the higher realization with increasing demand of minerals. On YTD basis, consolidated PBIT grew by 40% to 210 crores and for standalone it grew significantly by 48% to 84 crores. In respect of the ceramics, the consolidated revenue for the quarter were higher by 24% at 264 crores as against 213 crores in Q3 of last year and sequential growth was 4%. Standalone ceramics grew by 23% to 219 crores on quarter-on-quarter basis with 4% sequential growth on account of strong demand and end-user industries and geographies. Subsidiaries in Australia and America also registered significant growth. On YTD basis, the consolidated sales grew by 28% to 762 crores and for standalone, it grew by 27% to 623 crores. Profit before finance costs and tax at consolidated level grew by 54% to 66 crores from 43 crores on quarter-on-quarter basis and grew 3% sequentially on account of growth in volume, realization and product mix. On YTD basis, consolidated PBIT grew by 52% to 189 crores and for standalone, it grew significantly by 53% to 154 crores. And on the finance front, there was a debt of 265 crores in the standalone books with a total consolidated debt of 384 crores as of December 2022 as compared to 382 crores as of September. The debt equity ratio was at 0.14 for consolidated as of Q3. On the forex cover, QME is typically a net importer in dollar terms and a net exporter in euro terms. We cover the net exposure as appropriate and in accordance with our forex policy. On the cash flow front, we have a strong balance sheet as is evidenced by net cash position and low debt equity ratio. The cash and cash equivalents including the deposits at net of borrowings was at 30 crores. This concludes my update on finance. I'll now request Mr. Sridharan, our Director of Finance and Strategy, to walk us through the performance of Russian subsidiary WA and the recent acquisitions.
Thank you, Anand and Padmanabhan. Good morning to all of you. We started the year with a lot of concern on Russia because that's when the Ukraine conflict started. And I would like to state here that our local leadership have managed the situation very well and glad to tell that they have done an excellent work. And they have done a good performance, and I think as we shared last time, that the company is not under sanction, the product is not under any restricted category, nor its directors or its employees. The company is in a position to carry on the business with the best effort, both from domestic as well as from international front. They delivered a top line of 1.95 billion ruble and a profit of 402 million ruble. I would say that the ruble got converted at 1.27 for this quarter compared to 1.01 in the same period last year. YTD basis also the sales grew up, both sales and profit grew by double digit. WA is able to collect all its dues and it continues to be debt free and keeps its liquidity. Capacity utilization is normal and they are able to sell more products in Russia depending on the mix they are able to swing this. We expect the yearly performance to be better than the previous year, both in top line and the bottom line. So the message is they are in good stead. We hope they are able to continue this trajectory. Now coming to Rhodius, we have acquired this company and we are in control of this company for the past 9 months. We'd like to state that we have put in place a reasonable leadership team in Rhodius. We have a CFO, we have a IT head, we have insourced the entire common services that was provided by the holding company earlier. So both accounting, IT infrastructures are all been insourced as of December. So the progress is good and they will be in a position to manage the departments well. They have recruited people in the respective organization. So there, I would say that practically the organization is in good shape. Rhodius in Q3 achieved a net sales of 15 million euro compared to 14 million euro in Q2. YTD basis, they have done 47 million euros sales, and they are on plan at this stage. We expect the full year to be euro 68 to 70 million. We expect the full year loss to be about 3.5 million to 4 million. The reason for the loss are as follows: about integration cost of about 1.5 million euro, goodwill write-off of about 2.8 million, and if you exclude these, there will be a small profit of 600,000 euro. The profitability is lower as they have to absorb material cost push, freight cost increase, and a small energy cost increase. Besides this, they also need to pay a compensation to employees as recommended by the government to offset the inflation. This is paid as of December, so this is a significant cost that they absorb, almost about 500,000 euro. The normal profit would have been around 3 million to euro 3.5 million. We expect FY24 a profit, and from there on we will progress towards PBIT margin of around 12 to 14% by 27. So in summary, Rhodius is in good shape. We have done, top lines are in place. There are some unexpected cost push largely coming out of the Ukraine crisis. I think the leadership is in place. We will progress from here well towards achieving the profitability. As far as Awuko is concerned, I think, again, I'm glad to say that we have the local leadership is in place, chief operating officer is in place, the marketing team is in place. We are working towards setting up the finance team, organizing them. So that is work in progress at this stage. So it took quite a lot of time in bringing team in place. So that's a big challenge to us. We are fortunate to have some of the leadership team to come who have got industry experience and they are able to add value to this business. However, I think in the interim, the fixed cost has to be spent, and top line, since it's not coming through, you see a loss in Awuko. This is we expected, and it is in line with our expectation. This quarter, they achieved 2.2 million sales against 2 million in Q2, and we expect the full year sales will be around 10 million. Losses in, I think we also expect the full year loss to be about 4 million euro, which is after considering the Christmas bonus, which was paid for the first time after several years that the company could not pay. Hence, for better employee motivation, we paid the Christmas bonus this time. Losses are predominantly, as I said, to lower absorption of cost due to slower sales. This is in line with our expectation. We feel by FY24, Awuko would break even. I would say, overall, we could end this year with a sales of about 4,500 to 4,600 crores at consolidated level. This would be a growth of 38%. Roughly 50% of the growth is from organic, 50% of the growth is through acquisitions. Acquisitions would contribute about 600 crores of the growth in as a full year. PBIT margin, we could end up somewhere between 525 to 550 crores with a healthy margin growth in ceramics and electro mineral business. Abrasives EBIT margin will be lower. This is largely from Awuko, Rhodius and standalone. We expect the consolidated PBIT margin would be around 5% FY23. I know this is a concern, standalone EBIT margin has shown improvement in Q3. If this trend is continued and improved in FY24, which we feel we would be able to do that, and losses from AWUKO and RHODIUS stopped, we expect the EBIT margin for abrasives in FY24 to be about 9%. RHODIUS is doing fine. Top line is coming through. We face the cost push from material and logistics costs. So far, the energy cost has not impacted RHODIUS, as we have contracted the energy costs earlier. We expect the energy costs would impact in FY24. However, material cost is softening. We need to focus on volume. We are confident of traveling in the projected growth trajectory. There are 6 synergies identified, and we have put in place mechanisms to work through the 6 synergies. I'm glad to report that as far as sourcing opportunity is concerned, both RHODIUS and AWUKO are strongly working with our electro-mineral divisions and established the product, which is the most important phase of the sourcing one. So that has happened. Now they will start sourcing, and they really find this a good arrangement to work with Cumi. RHODIUS needs to work in both Cumi and RHODIUS needs to work on the synergy as far as thin wheel projects in India is concerned, which is a work in progress. In a year, we expect programs to be in place. It just concluded union budget plans to spend heavily on capex programs. These augurs well for the thin wheel consumption, and we should be working towards that. AWUKO will take a year to bring it into break-even. It has good potential. Products are of good quality. We are slowly winning the confidence of the customer back. Supply chain is getting restored. We will start working on the synergy with India once we stabilize our cooperation. I know in the interim, the losses are a concern to all. But to some extent, we expected this in AWUKO. War and its impact on RHODIUS was not anticipated. But the business model is solid, and we are confident that RHODIUS will add greater value to Cumi in the long run. Thus, I will conclude the remarks and probably open up for your question answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ravi Swaminathan from Spark Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Respect to the abrasive business, so basically growth has been continued to remain muted in the abrasive sector. So
sorry to interrupt, sir.
Yeah.
Request you to please start the question again. There was some audio loss at the beginning.
So just wanted to check with you regarding the muted growth in the abrasive category. So basically, what is the reason behind that? Is it that the end markets have been on the slower side, or there has been higher share of the imports? If you can give your broad thoughts, it would be great.
Yeah. So the abrasives market, if you now look at it, the segments, what we call the precision segment, has been doing reasonably well. While the last Q1, Q2, and the previous quarter saw a good pickup in precision abrasives, we also saw a little bit of a slowdown in Q3, especially coming from the two-wheeler farm equipment and also the hand tools industry. In the case of some of the retail products, we also seen the higher competition from imports at much lower predatory pricing, as I would say, because we also would remember that Q1, Q2 saw lower imports and for various reasons from China. And after the opening up of the COVID restrictions, you have a lot more imports coming in. Obviously, the stocks are coming in as imports. In addition, there has been some, I would say, slowdown in a few government projects in specific markets. But there is also, in addition to that, we have consciously focused on better margin segments while by kind of a weaning away from low margin, high competition intensive segments in the product groups in abrasives. So it's a combination of all this. But then the good news is that we have been consciously been moving in terms of making better margins and focusing on growing product groups which are more sustainable in terms of growth and margins that we will see in the quarters to come.
Got it, sir. And with respect to the electromineral business, so basically the margins were surprisingly on the higher side. So last quarter you had mentioned that there might be some normalization, but the margins have continued to climb. If you can talk about the sustainability of these kind of margins, sir.
Well, as you all know, that the big chunk of the electrominerals business is both in Russia and in India. And while the Russian business has been having a good run, they have been able to produce and sell, and also kind of shift their sales share into the domestic market. And in ruble terms, they also benefit out of it. In the domestic market, the volumes have been steady, while there also have been a pressure on the prices. So realizations have also pushed down the overall sales, but the volume is still there. So it's a combination of things, but I would believe that the overall margins for electrominerals would be around the 15%, as we have been mentioning now.
Got it, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sujit Jain from ASK Investment Managers Limited. Please go ahead, sir.
If you can just give the position in terms of inventory, data, payable days, and if you can just repeat the debt position.
As far as the debt is concerned, the debt equity ratio was at 0.14 at the consolidated level, and we have the debt of 265 crores in standalone books, and at the consolidated level it is at 384 crores. And if you take the cash balances, net of borrowings will be 30 crores surplus. This is the position as far as the cash flow is concerned.
And why how this position has moved?
And on the YOA only, this is the balance sheet position.
What was the December quarter debt, both in standalone and console, in the base, Q3 last year?
In December quarter, standalone debt was 268 crores, and at the consolidated level, it was at 376 crores.
Right, and then coming to your console inventory days, data days, and payable days.
It comprises of various entities, and it varies with the geographies. On an average, we can say that it would be around, 30 to 35 days overall.
Okay. And just to understand war business better, when ruble depreciates against European against euro, because 45% is basically export to European nations, does it benefit? How does the currency play out when ruble depreciates? How does it work for the company? Because then you have also conversion eventually into rupees.
So it will benefit the company because, you, as you rightly observe, the depreciation of ruble against euro and dollar first would benefit the local balance sheet in local P&L and balance sheet in ruble. And when again convert this back into Indian rupee, depending on how the fluctuation happens in INR, it will again benefit this. So that is where we see this profitability and top lines are in good stead.
Right. And if you can just help me with 9 months sales and profit numbers of WAF.
What's your question? Could you repeat that?
The 9 month sales profit grew in double digits. The absolute figures for 9 months of war.
Yeah, Russian subsidiary. Sales in war is roughly. Yeah, could you stay there? One second, sir. Yeah, so sales is about 750 crores compared to 540 crores of last year.
And profit?
Profit is about 150 crores compared to 100 crores of last year.
Right. And, you know, you spoke about Rhodius, eventually margins going up to 12 to 14% band. This is by FY26, right?
FY27.
This is the EBIT, this is the PBT margin you are talking about, right?
Yes, PBT margin, correct.
Right. And in terms of, you know, the commentary, probably Rhodius by FY24 would be PBT neutral. Awuko would do that in FY25.
No, FY24, we are expecting Awuko also to be neutral. But, you know, definitely company-wise, they will have a zero PBT. And EBIT could have a small loss there.
Right. So for the full year, both entities will turn PBT neutral, FY24, Rhodius and Awuko.
So Rhodius will make a profit EBIT-wise.
Perfect. Perfect. Sure, sir. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankur from HDFC Life. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Just one question again on the standalone abrasive business where, you know, we've seen this flattening out of top line, both Q-on-Q and YOY. So if you could just help us understand, you know, I know you did talk about some segments kind of slowing down and you also maybe withdrawing from some of the lower margin businesses. But A, if you could talk about overall industry, how's that doing? And, you know, is that still growing in high single digits, volume or pricing, whichever way you want to talk about it? And, you know, how do you see that in, say, 24? And then, you know, how do you see specifically for QME, that business shaping up on the top line front?
Yeah. Well, abrasives, if you look at it overall, while the demand across segments broadly has been positive, the industry had been hit in Q1 and Q2 by significant raw material push, mm-hmm. and that has pressurized many of us to put up prices, and we saw that over the last three quarters. Quarter-on-quarter price increases, which has rarely happened in the abrasives industry. We coming to Q2 and second half of Q2, Q3, we also saw that the input prices coming down. There has also been the so that's also put pressure on the industry to go down on prices, which is a it's always a battle between the distribution channels, end users, and the industry. So there has been in some segments like the precision where we could hold on to prices, but in some other segments where we can't. The precision segment is one which is our strength, and that is grown both in the domestic and in the export market as well. And I would believe that going forward, that is one segment which will see a significant robust growth. While the retail segment, which is driven by largely by the sheets and rolls, the thin lead segments will see higher competition intensity. But then given the capacities what you have built and also the products, the inputs we get from and from Rhodius in terms of the pinwheel product portfolio should hold in good stead going forward.
Right. And would there have also been, because you said input prices have come down, so would there have also been an element of dealer destocking, expecting prices to come down, and that's also the reason why maybe growth was slightly slower?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
No, I think there is also that, because there is also you know the kind of a I would call it a hope, but then there's a pressure on the prices also to come down because commodity prices have come down as inputs.
Mm-hmm.
So from the market, you also see that pressure.
Sure. Great. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshit Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Sir, India electrominerals revenues are now almost 70 to 80% higher vis-a-vis pre-COVID times. I remember our brown fused plus white fused capacity used to be around 30-35,000 tons pre-COVID. So
yeah,
how much have we expanded in last 2 years, and what would be the current utilization levels over there?
Observation and a good question. We did have, as you said, about 30,000 tons of capacities pre-COVID, and during the COVID times, we spent effort on increasing that capacities both in the furnishing side and on the processing side. And today, overall, the Indian capacities would be in the region of about 60-65,000 tons per year. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So there was some disturbance. So to answer your question going forward, this is one area where we would continue to look at ways of increasing the capacities, but this is contingent to getting additional power from the government of Kerala, and that is one area we are working on. So there is an opportunity, because this is a raw material business, and which is addressing both the refractories and the abrasive segments, which feeds into whether it is into the core industries like steel, cement, carbon black, etc. So definitely, yes, there is an opportunity to grow in that segment.
What would be the capacity utilization number at the moment?
Today, I would believe around 80%.
Okay. So just a follow-up to that, we are now doing almost more than 15% PBIT margin in the standalone electrominerals at the moment. And we have done that for last 3 quarters now. So do you think it will revert to the historical levels of 8 to 9% when the prices will cool off, or our margins are structurally much higher now because of a better scale and a very different product mix? I think you have highlighted the improvements you have done on the brown fused alumina side, the synthetic version that you are doing. So what would be the steady state margins in this business when the commodity prices will cool off?
As I said earlier, the commodity prices going down will augur well on the purchase side, and though the realization will maybe the pressure on realizations, overall contributions will still remain robust. And this changes what you have brought about in the AMD business is very structural, I would believe. And the cost coverage is also much better with the volume increase going on. So I don't think we'll go back to the historical levels of 8 to 9%. It will be closer around this 13-14% is what you're seeing today.
Understood. Just a small last question from my side. Since it has been quite some time that we have commercialized the SiC-based ceramics portfolio, so could you give some flavor on what kind of revenues we are doing from that product line? What are the margins that we are earning? Are the margins higher or lower than the current portfolio of industrial ceramics? That would be my last question.
Yeah. We kind of commercialize the ceramics, what we call the RBSIC ceramic parts, about a year, year and a half ago. Commercialization has happened. These are parts. They're not tonnage parts. You know, they are very specific to applications, nature of industry. So hence, it is built to customer requirements. So the margins there would be definitely be different from what we have as a bulk ceramic. This is one area where we would definitely be growing, because these has SiC as an application beyond what we see as wear and thermal applications. So that is one opportunity for me to grow into in terms of volumes. So different applications, different volume segments, but definitely another profitable segment is possible.
Understood. Thank you very much, sir, for answering my question.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phones at this time. The next question is from the line of Aditya Mongia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning all, and thanks for the opportunity. The first question that I had was probably just from my understanding. Your Russian facility, as you rightly said, has grown quite meaningfully YOY. Whereas I had this notion that typically Russian facility are driven by silicon carbide capacities that are running chock-a-block. So if you could give us a sense of how, let's say, profit numbers have become 1.5x, revenue line has also become a similar kind of quantum in this year, would be useful for us to appreciate what is happening and how would the future hold then for this business.
The Russian subsidiary also, this apart from silicon carbide, we also have the what we call the ceramics, which addresses the high temperature applications and also the abrasive segments. While all the three segments have reasonably grown, what we see is in the silicon carbide space, the demand, at least from this quarter from the domestic markets has been significant. And in the product mix we are addressing is largely now in domestic, while also, you know, the customers who are there in the Western markets continue to buy from us. The profits, obviously, in ruble terms is better, because what we also saw that the power costs and the raw material costs have not increased significantly. So that has also helped.
Understood. The second question that I had was on the ceramic segment. So you've been growing more than 20% for some time now. As you think through kind of continuing to grow at this pace for a longer period of time, which are the 2-3 key sub-segments that are going to kind of drive this growth? And should one think of these growth numbers moderating down over time or kind of sustaining at these levels?
Yeah. So the bulk ceramic segments are fair ceramics, the engineered ceramics, and also the thermal ceramics. Now, the what has happened over time is, you know, these are the three segments which are very design intensive, and what we now do is work with customers not only in terms of providing just the material, but also taking the design services into fold. So the ware ceramic segment is kind of developing into more design services installation segment, and which is obviously giving us a better share of the wallet of the customer. And similarly, in the thermal segment, focusing on projects and focusing on projects not only in India but also globally, in segments like glass, cement, ceramics, carbon black, has also helped. The engineered ceramic segment for the power distribution transmission and also for the new energy businesses are robust, and that is also giving giving strength to this growth. We believe that the growth of about 20% what we see is broadly sustainable going forward.
Understood. I'll put in one last question, and this is more kind of mathematical in nature. See, there's this line item called other unallocable expenses, which has been kind of rising quite sharply and eating into your reported margin numbers. So even though segmental numbers are great, we don't see that in overall numbers. Could you give us a sense of what is driving this line item over the last 2-3 years, and as in how to think about it as we go forward?
So at a consolidated level, you are seeing an unallocated expense of 68 crores compared to 37 crores, and perhaps that's where you are questioning.
And this number is lesser 2 years back, yeah. Yeah. So it's jumped up in 2 years, 2 years a lot more.
Yeah. So I think the components largely there are the costs which are generic in nature. So one, the biggest cost is about, the dividend tax from Russia, which we cannot absorb within Cyprus, is one component. And there is also a professional charge that we incurred in terms of the acquisition costs. And we are also shoring up people in terms of managing these acquisitions, which we would like to support for a temporary nature. So those are the costs which are sitting at there. So you are looking at how do I look at it future. So there are certain amount of costs which will continue. My guess is that somewhere in the range of about 60-65 crores, one should start looking at that.
Understood. And then it shouldn't be growing along with sales as much, because it appears that these are more startup costs for the acquisitions that you've done.
Yeah, right.
Got that. I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions. Thank you for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sanjay Dam from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Mr. Sridharan, just to confirm.
So you are not audible, sir. Could you please? There's a lot of disturbance in your line.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, my sir. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So, in your guidance, sir, you mentioned the EBIT as 525 to 550 crore. Did I hear right? At the consolidated level.
525 to 550 crores, correct.
Okay, so basically, again to correct myself, if I look at our 9 month numbers, we've done about 384.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are expecting somewhere around 160 odd crore in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. And wish you all the best.
Thank you.
have the next question from the line of Sanjaya Satpati from Ampersand Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks a lot for the opportunity. So while you have mentioned about the improvement that you will see in your subsidiaries outside of India, so can you just articulate your views on how all these entities will come together and have some kind of a synergistic benefit for the enterprise?
The major subsidiaries in the segments of electro minerals are in Russia and in South Africa and the Indian part of the business. So the Russian subsidiary is largely focused on the silicon carbide part, whereas the South African part is on zirconia, and in India we focus on the fused aluminas. Right. So what happens is, for the Indian market, you also have a requirement not only for fused aluminas but also silicon carbide, which is currently significant import. Now, what we bring about as a synergy benefit is that there are processing infrastructure available in India and other parts of the world, which we are leveraging to value add to the raw material that you're bringing in from Russia and then supplying out of India. That's one level of synergy we're looking at. So the market gets a full basket of products from one source, and it's a global in nature. In the case of abrasives, we see today the presence in India, the presence in America, which is largely for the precision abrasives, and through the Rhodius Nabucco, the presence of the coated and the cutting and grinding wheels in Germany. So, as a synergy benefit for the abrasives, as a raw material supplier, we are now a global supplier not only for the Indian market but also for the Russian subsidiaries as well. For the German entities, India is also a market which offers opportunities. And also through our distribution channels in Russia and other parts of the world, we can distribute both the Abuco and the Rhodius range of products in addition to their channels as well. So broadly, I would say raw material linkages, complementary portfolio for the Rhodius and Abuco businesses through offering Kimi's products into their markets and offering Indian access, market access to the Rhodius range, Rhodius Nabucco range of products, and a channel for conversion of our coated abrasives in Germany and other parts of the US is broadly what we see as a synergy. Ceramics, of course, we are mostly customer businesses, so hence whether we have a customer acquisition in Russia or in other parts of the world, we use the local entities to deliver our products.
Understood. So thanks a lot for this. And if I can just ask that going forward, will your growth be so much dependent on acquisitions as has been in last 18 years, or it will be a lot more your own product development capability, because now that you are present in such a meaningful way, so in so many locations?
It should be both. Because each entity has its own inherent strengths and for product development and for improvement. So, for example, the location in Russia brings to us a competitive advantage in terms of raw materials, in terms of energy prices. And choosing to produce volumes in that location where products are energy intensive or processes are energy intensive would be one way of leveraging that strength and growing. But it does not take away any opportunity in terms of identifying complementary or supplementary, entities which can add to our portfolio. But it has to make meaning for what for each of those segments, or even for the newer segment or newer emerging businesses like you know, the high purity silicon carbide and others, which are what I would call the advanced materials.
Understood. So, so my point is that will you be looking to do lot acquisitions in foreseeable future, or you will be more focused on stabilizing the unit and taking the advantage of the synergy which are there present?
Yeah, obviously the focus now would be on getting the Rhodius and Awuko operations running and turning around, and you know, delivering on the synergy benefits, but also keeping an eye on for acquisitions in other segments as well.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from Prolin Nandu from Goldfish Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks a lot, sir, for taking my question. Sir, I want to start with the suggestion that since we have subsidiaries in lots of countries and lots of subsidiaries, I mean, at least if we can give a quarter-on-quarter, I mean, every quarter, if we can release a slide deck which will have top line and EBIT number for each of the subsidiaries, that will make our analysis, you know, life better in some sense. So that's one suggestion that I wanted to give. You obviously give the console and the standalone numbers, but subsidy-wise, if you can give it in a slide deck, that will be very helpful. So my first question is on the domestic abrasive business, and you mentioned that in the retail is where you have to pass on the price and you are letting go of some of the segments. Could you help us understand as to, in terms of your overall abrasive domestic sales, how much is retail and how much is, I mean, in what part of portfolio are you facing the pricing pressure? Because the where I'm coming from, sir, is that during COVID, where the Chinese imports were not possible, at that time, I mean, most of our customers had experienced the better quality of product that we were supplying. And you had also mentioned in your past call that some of that would be sticky. So in that context, how much of that stickiness have we been able to retain despite such, you know, price rises in the segment?
So if you look at our portfolio, around 30-odd% of the product group is what I would call a retail focus, which would largely be the coated abrasives portfolio of sheets and rolls, you know, cutting desk, which goes to your carpenters, painters, fabricators, etc. So these are the ones which are distributed through the local hardware stores, for example, right? And these can also be imported in bulk. So this definitely is one segment which is facing price pressure, while the segments like in the industrial consumables, as I call, which is let's say the ones, the grinding wheels which go on to lathes and machines which are used in MSMEs and SMEs, and in the precision abrasives which goes to much higher end customer segments. So they are much more robust. So the pressures on retail is largely on this. Broadly on this coated abrasives, which is the sheets and rolls, and also on the thin wheel segments. And this is one area where we are also strengthening our retail distribution.
Sure, sir. And just an additional follow-on on that.
Sorry to interrupt. Due to time constraints, we will need to end the question and answer session here, sir.
I just have one last question, which I mean, let me allow me to go ahead. That would be on M&A, sir. You know, you have, I mean, as you have, as the previous participants also asked, past 10 years, we have made lots of acquisitions. But given now how geopolitically things are shaping up in terms of, you know, energy prices and energy crisis or whatever we want to call it, how does that change our acquisition strategy going forward as to what are our learnings based on some of the acquisitions that we have made, and also in light of some of these changing geopolitics, how have our acquisition strategy changed going forward?
I don't think there is any change. We continue to have an appetite for acquisition, largely coming from, you know, wherever we need to have a technological gap to be addressed, and wherever we need to have market access, we continue to be focused on that. And to the extent, you know, we can do this acquisition with the conservative balance sheet still maintained, we will continue to focus on it. I don't think we will change from that strategy of what we are looking at as an M&A. The geopolitical, you know, tensions keeps going, you know, they all play out. Sometime to the advantage, sometime, you know, there could be a stress. But I think if you have to look at a long run, I think we should continue to have that focus.
Thank you, sir, and best wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So thank you all so much again for joining on this call. We did hear the finance minister budget yesterday. I'm sure that there are a lot of positives and for the company going forward, and we hope to leverage on that. And while we expect another challenging quarter, we believe that India and Cumi is better placed to take advantage of this, and we will continue to focus on our operations, turnaround strategies in the new M&As, and of course on our innovation as is our tradition. So thank you all so much again for joining in, and looking forward to the call the next quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes the conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.